childhood down your presence. We respond to your great love.
Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God, presented from the Lighthouse Chapel International. This rich teaching provides clear and straightforward answers for everyone desiring to walk according to the Word of God. Reverend Samuel Sawyer is an anointed man of God with a special grace for teaching the Word of God and a unique passion for building people and positively transforming lives. He is currently the resident head pastor of the LCI Rose of Sharon Cathedral, Accra, Ghana. Enjoy some of the most comprehensive and down-to-earth teaching as taught in the Lighthouse Chapel International.
Here we go, let's go to the throne, the place that we belong. Gratitude is ours.
To thee, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here to worship at your feet. I thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. I thank you. Speak to the Lord wherever you are. Speak to the Lord. Everybody pray to the Lord. Everybody pray. And I just make sure that everybody is at the right place. If you are behind a machine, make sure you are doing something. If you are not doing anything anywhere, just make sure you are sitting or standing at a chair. Only two people behind the control decks at the information decks. Only one person is necessary. If there's somebody outside, I want you to come inside. Make sure that you are positioned and you are prepared to hear the Word of God. Don't let this time be a wasted time. Don't let this time just be yet another Sunday, but let it be a time spent in the presence of God. Oh, speak to the Lord wherever you are. Give him the praise due to his name. Lift up your voice and cry to him. Shout to the Lord. Talk to him. Pray in tongues. Pray in your own language. But pour out your heart before the Lord. As Hannah poured out her heart and the Lord heard her, the Bible says, I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. And he heard me. And he heard me. And he delivered me from all my fears. Lord, we are seeking you. Speak to us, O Lord. Help us, O Lord. Minister to us, O Lord. Maria Sakata Kabro Sokotondia. Shinari Mama Sokotondia. Eric, you know how to sing this song. Macheni Razinenim Metienim Paibo. Sing to the Lord, somebody, just for a second. Sing, somebody, if you can. Oh, yes, Lord.
Metienim Paibo.
Maria Sakata Kabro Sokotondia.
Adi Messia Botaso.
Oh, yes, Lord. Sing it even as a prayer to the Lord.
Now, I need you, my Shaman, and you're full of glory. I am you, Lord. I had to see my mama sat in it. Now, I got a better one. Now, I yoga.
Put your hands together and you may take your seats. Tell somebody you are welcome. Tell the person it's good to sit by you. Ladies and gentlemen, can you hear me from the back? I cannot hear myself. Can you hear me? wonderful. I think it's working now. Shake somebody's hands and tell the person it's a new season. Tell the person it's a new day. Tell the person this is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen and amen. Oh, I said amen. Well, it's time to preach the word of God. And the title of my sermon this morning is Tell Them. Tell Them. It is important that as a church, we do not lose sight of the fact that our mission on this earth is to be like Jesus. Amen. I said to be like Jesus. And what did Jesus do? The Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. I want you to know that you are supposed to be going about doing good. Tell somebody you're supposed to be going. Going. Going about. Doing good. When I say doing good, it doesn't just mean that you are doing charity work, or it doesn't just mean that you are controlling everybody, saying that, oh, we are supposed to be doing good. But you have to do what Jesus was doing. Amen. So as we speak this few weeks on this important topic, Tell Them, I want you to know that you are part and parcel of those who are supposed to tell. Tell somebody, you better tell. Tell somebody, I won't tell one. Hey! And if you also can see, we are trying to get the service to be more organized. How many of you can notice? Yeah, because sometimes I think that if we do not strive for a certain level of excellency, we will not get there. It will just be talk shop. It will just be what? Talk shop, which Ghana and a lot of African countries are suffering from. We have PhDs in talking, economic forum, dialogue, consensus. So, by the grace of God, I believe in order. Tell somebody, order. Look at them and say, order. Say, order in court. Hey. Agbene, I'm a fear no go. You need help. And you should be glad that there's a pastor who wants to introduce order. I'm not the first person to introduce order. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, Paul said, let everything be done decently and in order. Tell somebody, in order. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. And the more you progress towards order and discipline, the more you are progressing towards the Spirit of God. I say it again. The more you progress in your life, whether it is your room that you're organizing, whether it is the way you dress, whether it's your business, whatever you do, the more you make it orderly, the more you are progressing towards the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is order. In the Godhead, for example, there's order. Everybody knows his place. They understand there's Jesus, there's God, there's Jesus, there's the Holy Spirit. It's the devil that likes disorder. That's why the Bible says that where there is strife and confusion, there is every evil work. So it is only in the kingdom of darkness, even though they have some order, that is also where there's also more chaos. Are you getting what I'm saying? Where there's a lot of infighting, there's a lot. Look at the madman of Gadara, for example. The madman of Gadara, the Bible says in Mark chapter 5, verse 5. Well, I'm just introducing my topic to you, but I'm just helping you to know that we are moving towards a certain order in the church. Look at someone say, pastor is moving order towards order. Oh, say, pastor is moving towards order. And my question is, will you come along, or you just want us to be disorganized? Everything basa. Now. So I'm spending a few minutes of my preaching time to let us know that we can have some order if we so choose. And sometimes somebody will say, oh, but the Holy Spirit, we must let the Holy Spirit move. And the Holy Spirit, you know, you cannot put everything in a box. I agree with you. But how long is the service? It's 2 hours. Do you understand? And within the 2 hours, I believe that the spirit of prophecy is subject to the prophet also. If you are doing an all night, you can just, on your own, you can also just do anything that you want. But at least in church, we can have some order. That is always. And yes, sir. And as you between, I can say, Bibia, you have a boom. I went to a church in Swaziland. In those days, the churches there, when you go, everybody's sitting at there. And they sit, then somebody reads a song. Then they sing. Then when they finish, another person reads a song. Then they sing. Like that, they just sing like that. Oh yeah, I'm telling you. It was Lighthouse Chapel. As Lighthouse went there, and Lighthouse introduced a certain kind of, you know, format and all that. And then other churches started following. I'm telling you. I'm not saying what they are doing is also wrong. But you see, when you move towards order, it makes you more disciplined. Everyone say more disciplined. And the more disciplined you are in life, the more successful you are. Because then everything is fits in its place. Even God, in Bible interpretation, there's something called the law of first mention. So the first time something is mentioned in the Bible, it tells you how God wants it to be done. Even God, when he created the world, one of the first things that he did was that he divided the waters from the waters. He divided what? The waters from the waters. That is from the cloud, from the sea. He divided the land from the waters. He set things in place. He placed order. So when you're a person who does not understand order or boundaries, there's a boundary of time. I have a boundary of time to preach within it. Do you understand? You can be a pastor, you don't have any boundaries. You start a service you start preaching at 9 and then you end at, you say, oh, Paul, he preached so somebody fell asleep. So you too, that's what you are doing. The circumstances are different. It can be a camp in which you can have that situation. But it's a Sunday service, it's a Sunday morning, there must be some kind of order. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I'm saying all these things because I need all of you to come on board so that we can do what we are doing and then we can serve God well and we can function properly, the church can grow and all those things. Hallelujah. So very quickly, the theme is tell them, and today I'm going to tell you 120 reasons why you must be a soul winner. The title is very simple. It's taken direct from Bishop's beautiful book. Everybody say Bishop's beautiful book. Say BBB. Bishop's beautiful book. Tell them. Amen. If you don't have a copy, I want you to get a copy, but it's for your own good. And in case you thought that you came to church with a peculiar problem and you were hoping that, oh, the pastor in the course of his preaching, he will mention that particular problem and he'll speak about it, he'll have a word of knowledge and he'll speak to it. I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit is even more knowledgeable about your problem than the pastor. Can somebody say amen? I said the Holy Spirit knows where it hurts most. And I want you to know that anytime you come to church, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Yours is to receive. Yours is to do what? To receive. When this man wrote the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 1, when you read verse 3, it says, to receive the instruction of wisdom. When you are in church, you are supposed to receive what? The words of wisdom, verse 2, and the instruction of wisdom. Tell somebody, I'm receiving the instruction of wisdom. And I want you to know that if you are sitting here and you're saying, I'm carrying a burden, and this burden is too big for me, and that is why I've gone to church on a Sunday morning. You have come to the right place. Because the Bible says, casting all your burdens upon him. 1 Peter 5:7. For he cares for you. Tell somebody, casting your burdens. Not on your boyfriend, but on him. Am I speaking to somebody? So no matter what you're going through, I want you to know that there's a solution. There's a solution. But now, listen, people have unfortunately put the solutions aside and they are concentrating on problems. People have put the solution of life aside and they are concentrating on what? Problems. But today I came to help somebody. As we talk about, tell them, I am speaking to the core of your existence as a Christian. Someone say the core. Are you with me? Soul winning is all about speaking to others, reaching out to others, becoming a vessel, becoming a channel. Bible calls us ambassadors of Christ. By the grace of God, I've interacted with a few ambassadors, deputy ambassadors, high commissioners, and so forth, general honorary council. I have honorary councils who are my friends. Amen. The honorary council to Ukraine, for example, is a great friend of mine. Recently, he was in town. He called me. He said, we wanted us to meet. I said, okay. I said, where are you? He said, okay, I'm at this place. Where was he? He was at Hotel Royal Fiesta. I said, okay, I'm coming. And I drove. Oh, by the time I got there, Reverend Frank, Charlie, the man was just about to sit in the motorcade. They were boom, 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 boom. Then he saw me because I just entered the hotel. Then he saw me in my car. So he just did a sign to his driver. Then he walked to me. I said, hey, this is my friend. Big man, oh. Then he just shook my hands. Hey! We are ambassadors for Christ. And in case you've forgotten, I want you to know that every single person sitting here has a mandate, has been given a mandate by the Lord Jesus Christ to become a witness. Somebody say, a witness. You know what? This message is sounding strange to you. It's sounding strange to you because a lot of us as pastors, we have failed to emphasize the role of the church, which is supposed to be the salt of the world, the role of the church, which is supposed to be the light of the world. We have de-emphasized all these areas and we have indulged in different gymnastics and we call it church, to the point that sometimes we degenerate into all sorts of church politics. Am I speaking to somebody at all? If you're speaking to me, give me a small wave. A small wave. Let's see. Okay. We sort of forget the main reason why we exist as individuals, the main reason why we exist as a church, and by the time we realize, we go into all sorts of unnecessary areas. But by the grace of God, as we speak this few weeks about tell them, I am hoping that we will be galvanized, energized, encouraged, taught to become the shining light that we were all supposed to be. It's a good place to put your hands together for the Lord. Ah, your hand clap is not good enough. I think you can give a shout to the Lord, somebody. Maria Shakata Kabrosokotori Kebrokotonia. The motto we have as a church is that may we be a shining light to the nations. May we be what? A shining light. It's from John chapter 1 verse 4 and 5. It says that in the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. Listen, let's read a key scripture, and then I think we'll go. I've been looking for the key scripture, and I think I will choose Proverbs chapter 11 verse 30. Maria sakata kabroso kuturika ahikura handiyanda sinduru kuturuku murukutu yanda kebroso kutondeya. The church is no more going to be a church that just sits and withers. But the church is going to be a church that rises up and influences the community, says the Spirit of the Lord. Maria Sakata Kabrusukoto Yanda. The church is no more going to be a church that is personality oriented. But the church is going to be a church that raises forth the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all may see and all may know that Jesus is the Son of God. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 30. Let's read that scripture. It will underpin a lot of things that we'll say, and then I think we'll go on. Ask somebody, are you wise? It is not an insult. It's a question. Adding, you know me. Why are you asking whether I'm wise? Proverbs 11 verse 30, can we read the Bible? How many came to church with your Bible? If you came, say amen. Amen. If you did not come with your Bible, say amen. Next time, come to church with your Bible. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 30, 1, 2. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. I take it again. Pastor, now you know me the enka comedy me. Me the enka brabona aye ding. I am in church because I think I'm looking for solution. May you have a solution today in Jesus' name. I say, may you have a solution in the name of Jesus. There's nothing like the words of Jesus Christ. And I believe I'll be presenting the words of Jesus Christ. Amen. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Somebody say, a tree of life. One more time, a tree of life. Infanti, it is a chi. English is tree. Infanti is chi. Say, a chi of life. It means that the righteous, and I believe if you're born again, you are a righteous person. Oh, how many believe with me? Because it's not our own righteousness, but the righteousness that is imputed of us by Christ Jesus. Righteousness is a gift. It's not something that you work to attain. Are you getting me? Righteousness is what? It's a gift. You don't do anything to get to. You cannot be more righteous than you are, because it's just a gift that's put upon us. All our righteousness are like filthy rags in the eyes of God. But if you can just receive that I'm righteous because Jesus died for me, that is enough. Reverend Frank, you have a verse that you like quoting about we receiving the gift of righteousness. There's a verse you like quoting. I think it's in the book of Corinthians. Second, put your hands together for Reverend Frank as he helps me to preach.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he made me to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Wow. The pastor has verses, eh? I think we want to hear it again. Do you want to hear it again? For he made him to be what? Sin. Hey! A depo. But it is your verse for today.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Wow. Hey! I am excited. I think I can even stop preaching. Is it not so? How many of you immediately you are feeling some righteousness on you? It's not a feeling. No. It's not. If you are waiting to feel righteous, you will never be a righteous person. Because sometimes we don't feel righteous at all. How many agree with me? Sometimes you don't feel righteous at all. But you see, you must accept it. That because of what happened on the cross of Calvary, righteousness has been imputed to you. So when God is looking at you, he's not seeing you the way other people see you. He's seeing you as a righteous child of God. Put your hands together for the Lord, somebody. Many Christians are not able to comprehend that. So they allow the devil to sell them a lie. They allow the devil to actually paint a picture of who they are not to them. And by the time you realize, you believe the devil's lie. Amen. And if you don't have the right kind of belief and the right kind of impression about yourself, you would accept anything that anybody tells you. Dr. Patrick Ewua, the founder of Asese University. Do you know what he said recently? He said, if Ghana does not find a solution to her problems, the IMF will find a solution for us. He said, if you as a Christian do not get to the point where you understand how God sees you, to understand who you are in Christ, the devil will come and tell you many things. And because of that, a lot of people have lost their self-esteem. Because of that, a lot of people do not, because they don't know who they are. Listen to me. They follow all sorts of ideas and suggestions that the devil brings to them. The devil tells them that you are not worth it. Or you people are not thinking about you. Or people are saying this. But by the time you realize, because you don't know who you are. That's why I'm just taking my time to let you know that we are the righteousness of Christ. Tell somebody, I'm the righteousness of Christ. Amen. So Proverbs chapter 11 verse 30. The fruit of righteousness. The fruit of what? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Everyone say a tree of life. I'm emphasizing this because you see, you can be a Christian and you have unfortunately relinquished your right to life. You have, when I say relinquished, that is you have let go of your right to life. of the good things of life, you actually sometimes say that, oh, I grew up in a generation where as a Christian, it was like the more you look, the more holy you were considered. The more mobo. Is it a word? Mobo. Look at someone say mobo. Mobo. And it was like as a Christian, you were supposed to look wimpo. Mobo, mobo, boti, boti, bokete, bita. Is it bole or bokete? Bole, bokete, bita widow. I mean, you are supposed to make yourself it's like when you do that as aboski, you know, we used to have aboski. Do you know aboski? That is your child aboski. Then it's like as you are coming, then everything about you is like dry and everything is like, hey, onyame sumpa. Now, osronyame, obwakra, kwashe dim, azore. Am I speaking to somebody? It's time for the real Christians to stand up and be counted. Pastor, you said you're going to talk about tell them. Yes, but I need this background so that you can identify yourself as one of the persons that is being asked to tell them. Because other than that, it looks like, oh, this kind of sermon is for the crusade group, or it is for the audacious people, or it's for those who sit in front, or it's for the pastors who wear collar. Am I ministering to somebody? But Pastor, what about me? I'm the shy type. I don't know how to tell. You don't know how to tell. Let somebody start stealing your mobile phone right now and you catch the person. We will see another Ayoko right now. Yeah. It's like the guy who lived abroad and came back and then he was speaking slangs. And then a thief came to steal something. And then he started, thief, 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 oh, thief, thief, thief. Then you realize, hey, this thief is not working, oh. Then he changed. Here we go. That's how they thief, thief, shit. Obekanukure. It's time as a Christian to look deep within you and to ask yourself. Me is a question I ask myself all the time. That as I'm a Christian, this thing that I'm doing, is it Christ-like? Are you getting what I'm saying? This attitude, this speech, this thing, is it Christ? And Bible says that when you judge yourselves, you have no need that any other person judge you. Am I helping somebody? Because you see, one day our works will be tested. Bible says it will be tried with fire. And there are certain works that will survive. And there are certain works that will be purified. Can I speak to somebody? So as I speak about tell them, I want you to identify yourselves as one of the persons who is going to be telling them. And all of us, we have different opportunities. Everybody say different opportunities. Your opportunity may not be mine. Are you getting me? Maybe by dint of your work environment, you come across certain people on a daily basis. You interact with them. You talk about all sorts of things. You can talk about 4 years ago when it was World Cup, you were talking about Jubilani. Everybody say Jubilani. In case you don't know Jubilani, it was the name of the ball that was used in the 2010 World Cup. 2014 World Cup, the name of the ball is what? Brazuca. Oi! Look, I don't say Brazuca. B-R-A-Z-U-C-A. Brazuca. Look, maybe for now, you have been involved in normal chit chat with people that you meet in the church. Ana abrabona ye dio. Oi! Hey, now you see Papa be a friend of Devin Alan Cash. Hey! Now you see, hey, now, you see, share, Ronaldo, a Portuguese, a player, no, we play, who has head on his head, the leading striker in the world, Kweku Bonsam, there's a fetish man in Ghana, it's called Kweku Bonsam, who has heard of him before, I hear Kweku Boonsam says that he's the one behind the Portuguese striker's injury. All the way from Ghana to Portugal, he's working people. And when he said that, do you know what happened? There's a witch doctor also in Portugal who also says that he's the one behind our striker Akam Nkunku's injury. And we should be on the watch out. There are two more people. So they are looking for attention. But why am I saying this story? There are stories that are going around that by the time you realize you have also involved yourself in. There's nothing wrong. I'm not saying don't. But I am asking the question that your status as a Christian, where do we see your Christianity coming out? If it is just the normal Sunday morning where you dress to the nines and come to church, and then there must be something missing. I'm speaking to myself also. I'm not just speaking to you. I'm speaking to all of us. If your Christianity, tell somebody if your Christianity, you see, if it is limited to Sunday morning service, whatever time you come, whatever you do in church, it's nice. It's appreciable. We like it. I like it. I feel it. I want it. Tell somebody, I like it. I'm feeling it. I want it. It's nice. You come to church, you do something. Do you do something in church? Do you do something? You do something. What do you do in church, by the way? Help me to preach. I have 15 minutes. What do you do to preach? Or do you sing? I'm a singer. What do you sing? Which part do you sing? Treble, alto? It's like the story of the guy who was in a choir. And then after the choir, he was asked to describe how the song went. Then he started. Brother John. Otto. Then you look at another person. Brother Joe. Otto Bass. Then look at another person. It was a lady. Say, Brother Kos. One can brother. You are a sister. That's okay. Sister Kos. Listen. No matter what you do in church, there's more. Tell somebody there's more. I know this sermon is not comfortable, because you see, this sermon has the power to carry you out from your comfort zone into another realm of Christianity that you did not know existed. It's going to make you real. Somebody say real. Because it will force you to walk the talk. It will force you, and as I'm speaking right now, I'm pushing the boundaries of your operations. I'm pushing what? The boundaries of your operations. I'm pushing the limits of your life. I'm forcing certain things into place in your life. Some of us are going to catch it right now. Some is going to take time, but I believe everybody will catch it. All of us have different opportunities. The people you meet are different from the people I meet. Are you getting me? But the people that you meet is not by chance. I do not think that my life is a life of chance. I don't think so. I think the Bible says in Romans 8:28, it says all things, including the people you meet, including the things that happen, the good, the bad, and the ugly, all things work together for good. Meaning that the people that I meet are part of what God is behind. Are you getting what I'm saying? And God intentionally sometimes brings certain people. Look, I'm scared even of the message I'm preaching. I'm scared. A good scare anyway. Because all of a sudden I realize that the onus is of me in certain things in my life. I don't know whether you are also shaking in your chair. All things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. Look, every person that you meet, there is a reason behind it. Pastor, are you sure? Oh yes, you be there and think that everything is just working. It's just working without something. There's something behind it. When I think of the fact that the Bible says that even the Jesus said, he said, consider the fowls of the earth. They neither toil nor reap, but our heavenly Father, he gives them, he feeds them. Ask somebody who feeds you. In other words, God determines when you see a bird moving around, picking. It's not just picking, oh, it is God who has put some food there for him to be fed. He said, consider the flowers. They neither toil nor spin, but our heavenly Father clothes them. Are you getting me? The grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is not, are you not much better than they? Meaning that there's a plan and there's a pattern to our life. There's a part that God is playing. I said there's a part that God is what? God is playing. Certain people that come across your way, it is God that has brought those people your way. Sometimes to test you. Sometimes to do what? To test you. To find out what is inside you. To see whether you take advantage. To see whether you move forward. Are you getting what I'm saying? I am here as a pastor because God knows that you need a kind of person like me for this season. I didn't hear amen.
Amen.
Ah! Can I speak to somebody? You are here. I have 11 minutes more. You are here. Because I am also supposed to learn something from you. Listen. If you are sitting in the church right now, today, the 8th of June, yesterday was my birthday. Thank everybody for all the birthday gifts. I haven't received any gifts so far. So all the birthday messages, amen. I'm not making a campaign, but I just wanted to. I said gifts and I realized that I haven't received any gifts from anybody. Amen. This is not a campaign. Listen, today the 8th of June, there's a reason why you are listening to this sermon. Tell them. Amen. And God is expecting you, after you have heard this sermon, now to begin to activate it. Because it is in the activation of the word of God. James 1:27 says, that is where the blessing comes. I say it is the activation of what? The word of God. Whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the Bible says, the same is blessed. Listen to me. There is a reason why you must be a soul winner. And Bishop has gathered 120 reasons. I have time to tell you one of it today. I have time enough to tell you what? One. All that I said was to just give the preamble, the preparation for you to understand that one reason, that foremost reason. And the next week, I think we'll continue. Amen. And before we get out of here, I'm also going to give the operation for the next season. Somebody say the operation. The operation, as a church, once in a while we do operations. The operation for the next season is W-I or we. Everyone say we. Every day. We every day. The second service, they translated it. I said we every day. So they said shamo dada. But that's what I mean. We every day, that is witness and invite. Witness and invite. Do you know why it sounds strange to you? Because as a church, it looks like we have not placed a certain emphasis, but it's changing. A certain emphasis on soul winning. But Lighthouse Chapel was founded on the principles of soul winning. Look at our bishop. His mission in life is clear. There is no confusion about it. Our bishop, our father, the father of the church, his mission, his life is clear. To win souls, to raise leaders, to send them. That's all. Tell somebody, to win souls, to raise leaders, and to send them. And he has been doing that ever since I met him. Somewhere in 1989. To win souls, to raise leaders, and send them. The other day, I happened to be at the place where he's building the massive Bible school. Wow, I look at the place, I look and say, wow, say Bishop Tally, this place is wow.
Then he said, anybody who dares to turn this Bible school into a university is cursed. I said, The man's heart is speaking, because he's for the Bible. Are you getting me? That is how, that is his call. Not that universities are bad, but that is the mission, that is the call that he feels. Paul said, I have become all things that I might win the lost at all costs. I'm going to make a banner and put it in front of the church. Win the lost at all costs. You miss a good place to put your hands together for the Lord.
But Pastor, what about the situation where when sometimes you look inside your life, you realize that you are in need of certain things? And
what about the times when you think you are in need of certain things? The times when you think you are in need of certain things, begin to consider. Hebrews chapter 3, the Bible says, consider Jesus, the apostle and the high priest of our confession. Listen very carefully. The first reason, and I gave you the first reason and then we'll go home, why you must be a soul winner. The first reason, how many of you are trying to, you are going to be a soul winner from today? 1, 2, 3, 4, 17 hands, 34, 72 hands, 77, 88, 90. The rest of you, you will sit. And I've failed in this sermon. I think I just have to close and then we'll pray. I'm expecting everybody in this church. I know my sermon is not nice. I know, I mean, it doesn't sound nice. It doesn't sound nice because the devil also doesn't like it. Devil doesn't like people to be born again. Devil will wish that everybody will just be there, wishy-washy, half-hearted, good-looking people, sit in church, do something, sing auto, give some offering, you know, satisfy the conscience that, oh, I've done something, I've gone to church. After all, I know some people are sitting in the drinking bar. The devil likes it. But listen, it's time to win souls. Tell somebody it's time to win souls. Pastor, but I'm the shy type. I don't know how to talk to people. Look, there's always an opportunity that God brings to you. Sometimes as you sit somewhere, you realize, how many of you, young boys especially, young boys, every young boy, give me a wave. Young boys. If you're a young boy, sometimes you are there and then when you've gone to a function and then you see, or you're going to sit in a bus, Accra to Kumasi. And as you are sitting there, you realize that some fine girl is coming. And then you are saying that, what do you say? What do you say in your head? Oh, be real. In your head, you are wishing that the person will do what? Come and sit behind. Put your hands together for yourselves. Ladies, you didn't know. But in your head, the boys are thinking, oh, I'm not in chain. Hey! And then sometimes, as he's come to sit there, some fat mama becomes to just put, oh. And like that, he's poured the whole connection. But you know, sometimes those things that happen, it is God who is also behind it to give you an opportunity. Are you getting what I'm saying? To be a light, to shine. Sometimes you meet certain people come into your 18 or into your circumstances, it's because God wants them to be there. Matthew chapter 28, we are closing. Why I must be a soul winner. The first reason, Matthew 28 verse 18, 19 and 20, is the last chapter and it is the last few verses. It's a verse that should become part and parcel of our lives. Matthew chapter 28. Jesus is speaking. I don't know about you, but something is pushing me. Look, every day, witness to somebody, invite somebody to church. Twice a week, bring somebody to church. On Sunday and on Tuesday. Make it your personal habit. That no matter what, just like some of you, your personal habit is that any new movie that comes out, you watch it. How many of you, you used to have that habit? That the latest movie. Ah! The latest Peggy Appiah? Is there a woman called Peggy Appiah? Jackie Appiah. Ah! She said, Jacko hasn't brought a movie you watch. How many of you have watched Die Hard 1? Die Hard 2? Die Hard 3? Oi! Make it a point. You're going to invite somebody. That's all I'm saying. And the reason is that it is the Great Commission. Everybody say the Great Commission. In other words, it's the Great Commandment. In other words, it's the Great Instruction. In other words, it's the Great Order. Depending on who is giving you an instruction, there's a way you move. Depending on who is giving you an instruction, there's a way you what? You move. If I'm sitting here right now and they come to tell me, say, Yao Kitwa, hey, Fremi is calling you. I say, who is Yao Kitwa? But when they come and they say that the mayor of Accra needs me, and I say, where is he? He said, he's out there. Say, it's not us. I said, it's an emergency. I should come. Today I was in the middle of something that my wife came and she says, she needs me. I said, emergency? She said, yes. I had to go. Stand to your feet as we read the scripture. I don't know why, but I feel I have preached a sermon that has offended you. But you see, the blessing of the message is not when you just look at it and say that, this message, we need a message. The blessing, I didn't say we are close, so we are coming to read the scripture, but I want us to read it standing up. Amen. You can take your positions as you get ready to sing whatever song you have. Listen, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, let's all read together, 1, 2. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19. Go ye there. No. Sit in church and relax. Sit at home and watch a movie. Sit at the beach and enjoy the breeze. Sit in church and do a do. Be happy in church whilst souls are perishing. Go. Look at somebody, frown your face, and tell the person, go. 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 Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Listen, as you do that, the power that Jesus said has been given to him, it will start flowing into your lives. Oh, I said it will start flowing into your lives. We are powerless because we are not going. But from today, somebody say, I repent. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you. We worship you. Pray for yourself. Pray for the strength. Pray for the power to go. Pray for the grace to go. Pray tonight, this afternoon, you'll meet somebody and you'll be able to share the word. You'll be able to say, I'm inviting you to Jesus. I'm inviting you to church. Pray for yourself. I don't know why you people are standing here. Next time, if you don't want to do anything here, don't come here at all. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Pray for the strength, the boldness, the boldness, the boldness, the boldness, the boldness, the boldness, to speak the word of God, to share the word of God with somebody, just a word to somebody, Jesus loves you, to share a tract, to invite somebody to church, to open the Bible and share scripture. Pray. Pray. you really, really love me. This is what Jesus is telling somebody this morning.
If you love me,
this is what Jesus is saying. And this is the promise he has given us.
So I'll be with you forever and ever till the end of the world. Go, go, go.
Go, 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 go. Speaking to somebody this morning, you can pretend for a while, but you cannot pretend forever. You can say, I don't have an opportunity, but the Holy Spirit will remind you,
no, I'll be with you
forever and ever until the end of the earth. Jesus as your Savior.
Here we go, let's go to the throne, the place that we belong.
We hope you have enjoyed this message. For copies of this message and other messages by Reverend Samuel Sawyer, please contact the following numbers: 0243-210-323, 0274-140-073, 0242-262-694. If you are calling from outside Ghana, please begin with 00233 and email us at samsoya@yahoo.com. We invite you to visit us every Sunday morning at the LCI Rose of Sharon Cathedral, former Olympia Cinema, at 6:30 a.m., 8:30 a.m., and 10:30 a.m. Our youth and children's service also come on at 8:30 to 10:30 a.m. every Sunday. On Thursday evenings, we meet from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m. God bless you.